Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Annan with you until 3 o'clock today. And I want to go to Emma Golden now. Emma, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Well, how are you, Emma, after your weekend?
Well, I've had better weekends, Katie. I've had better weekends.
You were at Nicki Minaj on Saturday night. Would you be a big Nicki Minaj fan, Emma?
Well, I hadn't heard of her until we bought the ticket. So I was going to accompany my son. So, yes, she wouldn't be in my top list of music, let's put it that way. So.
Well, if she was last week, she wouldn't be now anyway, I would say.
Well, no, she's definitely on a list that never to be reviewed again. But no, I was bringing my son, it was his birthday present, and then five of his lovely friends also wanted to come along. So you have to be, they're 15, so you have to be over 16 if you're going to go by yourself to the concert. So they needed an adult to kind of shepherd them. So I was kind of shepherding Saturday evening.
Okay, so you were the shepherdess.
And,
and it was your son's first ever concert, yeah?
This was his first ever concert, yeah, exactly. So he was super excited. They were all super excited. So that was kind of sweet to see them.
Yeah, there's something lovely about that, to bring in your child to their first concert is a kind of a special occasion for anyone.
Yeah,
I think maybe some of our listeners mightn't be familiar with Nicki's music. Do we have a quick blast of her that we can play? Yeah. Pretty catchy, and to be fair now, you could bop along to that for sure.
Pretty catchy, absolutely. And I'm sure it is, you know, and I can understand the huge fandom and stuff that's out there. But I suppose, it all ended up.
Yeah, exactly. So let's tell people what actually happened. So you got there in good time, I presume. What time were you there?
The gates opened at 4. And the kids were super excited, so they wanted to go early. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I'd say we got there at about sort of 4:15, thereabouts.
Oh God,
they wanted to buy merchandise.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they wanted to get in early. And again, because they were just all excited. So that was all lovely and that was fine. And, you know, that was no problem. So I'm happy to kind of facilitate that for them.
And these were standing tickets, were they?
Yeah, no, so it's all, like, actually the venue in Malahide is actually really nice. It's very well organised. And, yeah, it's all standing space. And there's lots of space. And, as I say, it was all very well organised in terms of at the event itself.
And presumably, because you were there so early, you had a good spot then.
Well, sorry, yeah, well, the kids did, yeah. I obviously, much and all, as it was lovely to be for my son's first, like, you know, he obviously didn't want me too close. So I was lurking in the background to kind of not cramp their style, so to speak. So, yeah, they were like up very, very, they got a good spot and they were delighted with themselves. I hung back a little bit just not to be kind of, you know, cramping their style.
Okay, so everything is going grand. There's the support act were these two DJs, Dan Duffy and Dancy.
They were pretty cool and they were really good fun and they got the vibe going. I think they came on at about 5. Mm-hmm. And so they're just mixing it up and playing the sounds and everyone's in great form. There was even a little bit of sunshine. So that was all lovely.
Yeah.
But they seem to be playing for a lot longer. Like at some point it was like, when are they finishing up?
Yeah, I mean, they should get a particular award, I think, for their contribution to the evening, because without them, it would have been very flat indeed. What time were you expecting Nicki Minaj on stage?
Well, I didn't see a set time. I had heard that NCD are like very strict about timing and they have to be. And I understand that because there's curfew at 10:30 and that's one of the conditions for the license. So we knew that the support would be on around 5, and I assumed she would be on at about 8. Mm-hmm. In fact, we got an email from Ticketmaster that day at about 4 in the afternoon to say that she was due to start at 8:20.
Right. Which is exactly as you do. Yeah, that's what you'd imagine for any.
Wouldn't be outrageous to start. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So 8:20 came and went, and the weather at this stage was turning more inclement.
Yeah, it was. Now, in fairness, obviously they can't, you know, Ms. Minaj and you know, they can't control the weather, but it was a bit unfortunate. Mm-hmm. The rain came down, and you know. Yeah, that wasn't particularly great. So there was no sign. And meanwhile, I'm communicating with some of the parents who didn't draw the short straw and who were all at home lounging and enjoying, you know, whatever Saturday night they had planned, just to explain to them that there was still no sign. So we had a bit of back and forth about that.
Right. So 8:30 came, 9:15 came and went, 9:00 came and went. 9:20 came and went.
Yeah.
What time did Nicki Minaj finally make an appearance?
So she came on at 9:55. 9:55. But what happened actually just before that, so the two guys who were doing a stellar job of DJing, and they were just good fun and very nice, they actually played until something like 9:00, which was a really long spin for them. And they kept saying, you know, whatever way they were, you know, interacting, it was very clear that they didn't expect to be on that long, which was, you know, obvious. So they go off and we're like, okay, she's going to be coming on now, surely, any minute. And in fact, what happened was another DJ came on at 9:00. So he was one of her entourage. Mm-hmm. And so he's obviously been sent out. I kind of felt sorry for him. Because, like, he's kind of like the person who's coming along with the excuse and trying to kind of gee the crowd up a bit. But basically, it was yet another DJ who kept shouting, you know, hands in the air and, you know, hug the person you love and all of this. But so he played, and then eventually she came on at 9:55.
And then, of course, with the best will in the world, there was a limited amount she could do then because the curfew was there.
Exactly.
She did play a little bit beyond the 9:30 mark.
Yeah,
didn't she?
So she kind of finished up at about 10:45, but I would say she definitely didn't play more than I would think. Well, she was on for 50 minutes on the stage, but actually she wasn't really on for 50 minutes because she also did 3 costume changes. So that was kind of, I couldn't believe that. So basically, she played her first few songs and then all of this imagery comes up and it's not even her music that I could see. It was very odd imagery and loud stuff coming on. That wasn't music. I know I sound very old saying that. She kind of disappeared off the stage. So she did that 3 times. So I reckon she was gone for 10 or 15 minutes doing the costume changes because I don't know if you've seen the costumes, but
they're very elaborate. It's
not book fizz, you know, it's very much elaborate, you know, you'd need a bit of squeezing in and like a bit of prep work and all the rest to get into the outfit. So, you know, so she was actually really only on performing for 35 minutes.
And did she, when she actually did turn up, what did she say? Like, did she excuse herself? Was there any
nothing. Zero. But again, look. You know, yeah. So she went straight into it. So, I mean, I don't know. The crowd was, there were some people where I was, like, I wasn't right at the front. As I say, I was trying to let the kids, you know, have their fun without a mother in the immediate vicinity. But certainly I was standing back a bit and there was quite a lot of annoyance and people were pretty. But, obviously anyone up the front was avid fan and they were probably just happy or whatever. But like really 35 minutes, it's, you know, for the ticket. I mean, basically, her DJ was playing her music. So you kind of feel like we paid to go along to bop in a field to, you know, DJs play music, including her music. Whereas in fact, people paid to go see her, you know.
How much did you pay for the tickets, incidentally, Emma?
So the tickets were €90 each.
Right. And then, of course, there's the merch on top of that and the...
The merch on top of that, yes. There's, well, yeah. But that's, okay, the merch, you know, that's par for the course, you know, I don't, you know. But I kind of think for anyone really, it was even worse for people who might have travelled. There were definitely people who had come from further afield.
I saw some people in, I think it was in The Independent, saying that they left, actually. They just assumed she wasn't going to turn up.
Well, it did look like that, to be honest. I was getting messages from some of the parents who were at this stage onto their third glass of wine and beautiful insides, saying to me that maybe I ought to kind of, you know, collect the sheep and kind of bring them home at that stage. But, I mean, I knew that my son wouldn't agree to that, to leave. Like, I was thinking, if it was me, I would have left.
How did they feel about it ultimately with their, you know, the bit of the concert they did get?
Yeah, look, I mean, ultimately, I think they were really, really disappointed. I didn't want to kind of preempt a negative experience for them, so I kind of held back on any observations that I might have made on the dart on the way home. But, like, watching them, you know, it was interesting to see that over the course of the journey, they kind of, you could see them talking amongst themselves, analysing it, and kind of they kind of got down to the facts fairly quickly, like that, you know, probably was not a very good experience and it was a big letdown, basically.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of bad taste that they were left with.
Yeah, I see some people, well, certainly the ones who didn't see her at all or had left beforehand, calling for a refund because they said it wasn't what they had paid for. So you were not alone in your disappointment, Emma. Will you hang on?
No.
I have another Emma actually on the other line.
Oh, surely. Okay.
Who is also there? Emma Byrne, are you there with us?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah. So you were there again. You wouldn't be the biggest Nicki Minaj fan yourself, I understand.
No, definitely not. But my daughter is.
Right. So you had gone along. You just was just yourself and your daughter. Was it on Saturday?
Yeah, just the two of us. Yeah.
And what time did you get there at?
We, like the other Emma, we arrived early because it was my daughter's first outdoor concert and she was very eager to get up the front because we'd purchased Gold Circle tickets. So she was determined to get as close to the stage as possible. So we were there about 20 past four as well.
Were they more expensive, the Gold Circle tickets?
Yeah, they were. They were €100 or 99.
Okay. And you travelled a little bit as well to get there, didn't you?
We did indeed. We came from Dundalk.
Right. So, so there was that expense as well on top of the €100 per ticket. And were you soaked?
Absolutely drowned. But like we had a bit of a raincoat that we shared over our heads. Like I didn't mind the rain as much, you know, because I obviously was there for my daughter. She was super excited to see Nicki Minaj. But like that, you know, it's very disappointing when you're left waiting so long. And then she comes on and does an extremely rushed set, as she did.
And I mean, if you look at the set list, is obviously they publish the set list all the time, and it does look like she managed to squeeze in a lot of songs in the time she appeared to be on stage.
Yeah, she kind of played half songs, which kind of were blended into each other to try and get, you know, as many snippets of songs on as possible.
And what did your daughter think? I mean, was she able to get into it, even while just for the little time she was on stage?
Oh, she did, 100%. She had a great time. And like the other Emma was saying, I didn't want to give a negative experience by giving out too much about it afterwards. But, you know, she was thrilled that she got to see her and was thrilled just to see the little bit that she did. But, you know, the waiting, and there was other girls around us. That one girl was from KM, was in a concert that Nicki Minaj had cancelled on, so she managed to score a ticket for the one at Malahide Castle, and she was, you know, again, left bitterly disappointed twice.
And I wonder what's going on, because I saw that Nicki Minaj was due to play in Bucharest the following night, on Sunday night, and she pulled out of that as well at very short notice, said that there was safety issues, she was worried about protests or something in Bucharest, and that for that reason she was going to not be able to go. So there seems to be a bit of a pattern there.
Yeah, she has a reputation for turning up late. Like, I believe one of her concerts in the States, she turned up late but played on later. And I also heard that she was advised that there was a curfew in Malahide Castle. That she wouldn't be able to play on longer, as she might have had the freedom to do so in other other gigs, say for example over in the United States and places like that.
What age is your daughter, Emma?
She's 14.
Oh yeah, so I mean it was obviously a huge big deal for her to go to this concert.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just leaves a little bit of a bad taste.
100%, yeah, 100%.
Can I just say, sorry, just to jump in, but I mean, the thing is, really, it's just such a lack of whatever about the two Emmas here, maybe are not big fans and whatever else,
yeah.
That's okay. I mean, I just think, like, how could someone behave like that? It's such contempt, you know, for the fan base. That's it. Like, I mean, I don't care either way in a sense because like I wasn't keen to see her, but like, you know, for the people, and it's not just kids, like I was amazed.
Absolutely.
To see the cross section of people who were there. It's amazing, yeah. Really. And every single person who was there to see her, like basically she didn't have the manners, you know, she basically just totally, it was just utter contempt for her fan base. That's what
Absolutely.
It seems to me.
She never held accountable for it either.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's part of it, isn't it? That she keeps getting booked when these issues arise. I mean, when you compare it, and I know the Taylor Swift tickets were a lot more expensive, I suppose, for a lot of the people who were there. But by God, she does give you value for money.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
I would just say, seriously, you couldn't recommend anyone going to see her because,
no,
you know, I kind of would question, why would anyone book her? She has such a strong reputation, which I didn't know because, again, I'm so clued out of these things, but I know now. But, you know, I mean, like, why would you book her with that risk? It doesn't make sense, really, to me. But anyway, I'm an old crony. That's an old crony view, you know.
Okay. Well, our old cronies, hang on. I've got Lynn on the line. Lynn,
hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You were there with two of your friends.
Yes, we are in our 30s, but we are big Nicki fans, and I can understand. Well, I did see a few parents walking back out towards the exit with their children when the third song did start, but it's just like we would go to a lot of rap and hip hop concerts, and they do come on stage at usual average time 9:45, 9:50. So, like, when we went, we were looking at it. The error, I think, was the gates were open way too early. So we had a look at the estimated time she was going to perform on the Daily Mirror, and it said it was going to be 8:30. Mm-hmm. So we kind of thought, okay, look, maybe it's going to be 8:45, 8:50. So we got there for 8:30, and, like, I don't know. I mean, she did play the entire set list. So we had her set list from the previous tours. So she did cover the whole set list.
But she must have been racing through them to get through a set list at that time.
No, that's usually like they all just do the first verse and chorus of every song. That's usually how they get through. The more advanced they are, they would not really play out a full song. Like anyone in that genre of music would usually always do the first, like the first verse and the chorus, and then they move on straight into the next one. So we were following the set list the whole way down. But
hang on a second, Lynn. So you're saying that she was never, if she was doing the set list as expected, was she never going to play more than that length of time?
No, that's what I'm saying. That was her set list. You know, you can pick them up all over Europe. You can see what she's after covering and what she's doing. So the DJ did play a lot of Nicki stuff, but they weren't on the set list. Most of the stuff that he played weren't on the set list.
And are you okay, Lynn? Am I right in saying you're called Barbs?
No.
Nick, who's telling me this?
But
the fans. What? The fans are called. Yeah, but you're a fan, Lynn, aren't you?
Oh, well, yeah. But I mean, we did post a few pictures of people we knew, and we were all saying we were the Barb friends and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But that would be kind of, she just comes on and does her. But the production, I think, as well, was she waiting for it to go to be dark? Because all of the production until it was dark out. Like, I think the whole thing was, the problem was the venue. It was just the wrong venue. It was like a really long, you know, the weather was really bad. It was really hard to get back out of there. And I think it was just a miscommunication that people were out there so early and there was no clarification. Unless you kind of banked on what the reporters were saying, she was going to be coming on at maybe 8:30.
But can I just come in there and just say a couple of things
Emma.
In reply? The complaint substantially is not about length of time waiting. Of course, we can grumble about that. We can grumble about getting wet. We can grumble about a lot of things. The complaint is 35 minutes. And it's a matter for the promoters. The idea that 35 minutes of chop and chop song is what's normal, I'd like to hear MCD's response to that, because I'd be gobsmacked if that weren't normal. 35 minutes.
We went to another huge rapper a couple of weeks ago, and it was the same, like, couple of minutes, covered all his big songs.
Who was that, Lynn?
That was Lil Wayne, but it was in America. And same, you know, it's just the way that they... It's just
but
they,
I'm sure they
played
for more than 35 minutes.
He didn't know he was about 35 minutes. So, like, I don't know whether it just comes with the genre of music, but the entire set list was covered.
And Lynn, are you?
I don't think that's true, but anyway.
I'm just really interested about, from Lynn's point of view, because you're a fan, a real fan. And are you? Do you think it's good value to pay £90 for that length of a set?
Yes, because the production, you couldn't, like, I mean, she did go off and do her costume changes. I was thinking at the time, is she going, and she didn't cut anything short, because I was watching the set list going, because we were conscious, we had all of us had buses booked to get out of the venue. So we were conscious thinking, oh my God, the bus is going to go and we're going to be left stranded. That was sort of the, it was very badly arranged all over, I think. I don't know whether she was totally at fault for her time arriving on stage, or was there a background miscommunication with getting the fans in so early and getting people leaving so early that it was, you know, I don't know. But she did cover everything. She did go off and do a lot of costume changes, but it didn't look rushed. It was just, I think everybody was really annoyed by the time.
Totally disagrees there? Who was that?
I do. This is Emma Byrne.
Emma Byrne,
I was at LCB Sound System in Malahide Castle not so long ago, and they had plenty of support bands. They played all their songs in full. You know, I was at Pearl Jam in Marley Park before that, and they had a good few support bands and played all their songs in full. So I think it's a poor excuse on her behalf that she's only playing the first verse of all her songs to squeeze them in for a 35-minute set.
Yeah.
You know,
they do that. Like, that is the genre. Yeah. That's what they...
Yeah.
That is,
just to say...
They're totally separate genres of music, I think, and a lot of times...
I don't think genre has anything to do with, like, performing a concert with the greatest of respect. And I don't think that's what the concert was sold as. And
100%.
I didn't see anything on the promotional to say that what MCD Promotions were putting up was, you know, a slice of the Nicky experience. The set list was published. It didn't say you'll be getting 30 seconds or 2 minutes of a song.
One verse.
I mean, that would be
song.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
might be that that is something that happens.
Like,
but
a lot of the songs have features. So, like, on all of the rappers' albums and songs, they always have another feature. So a lot of their songs, they're not performing for the full length anyway. Like, it's different with a rock band or like a heavy metal band. They're performing the full song. But when you're doing, like, all of the songs nearly that are published, they all have a feature. So they'd have another stand-in artist with them on the same song. So she could really only play what she was able to play. You know,
can I ask you, Lynn, just to say as well, we were on to MCD, who was the promoter, and to Ticketmaster. We've had no reply yet from MCD. Ticketmaster has referred us back to MCD. They're saying it's an issue for the promoter. But I'm interested, Lynn, because if you were saying you were looking up online, and you know, this is what we all do if we're going to a concert, what time is the main act expected on stage? But sure, you must have known if they're only going to play 40 minutes, or they're going to be on stage 40 or 45 minutes, that half eight, there was no way that a concert was going to be over at 9:15. So...
Yes. So the bus was originally for 10:30. So it was only when it was hitting 9:45 we were saying to ourselves, sugar, are we going to get it? You know, are we going to miss a lift? So then it was all falling into place. Was she on time and everything else in the background was completely disorganised? Because we did see parents leaving with their kids. And like it was really sad because she played all of the songs suitable for a lot of the kids at the very end of the set.
But those kids must have been distraught. Imagine the excitement
and
then being marched home.
I Yeah, you could see them. They all had like pink Barbie bags on their back, and it was just like, who, somebody is responsible for it. It was very disorganized in that respect, but her, it wasn't like her mic wasn't off, her sync wasn't off, her set list was completely performed. It was just really badly organized, I think.
In terms of, and of course, a lot of those kids would have been spending a lot on merch as well.
Yeah.
How much was the merch expensive, Emma? You had to fork out there, I think, did you?
Yeah, Emma Golden here. Yeah, look, you can't complain about that. The merchandising price, I guess, is standardised. But yes, the son purchased a T-shirt for, you know, £45.
Yeah, that seems to be standard now. I don't think you can get a T-shirt for less than 45 at any of these gigs.
No, exactly. Yeah. Now, he did, in fact, buy the wrong size. And luckily, his mother was there to do the exchange and get actually the correct size T-shirt for him, much to his mortification. But I can't complain about that. Do you know what I mean, Katie?
I know.
Because that's part of the whole thing.
And that's, yeah, that's standard.
If that's what he wants.
Well. Yeah, Lynn?
Can I just say that we did see a lot of people that had paid for the guest experience and they all had their wristbands and they couldn't even go back into the designated area. That they were like, it's way too overcrowded. So I don't know if it's hard to find, but somebody is at fault for something. I do agree with that. Like, it was very well disorganized. You know, it wasn't organized properly.
It wasn't organized. Okay, Lynn,
we just knew from the other concerts not to turn up so early and stuff. But
I am absolutely astonished, though, that this 35-minute or 40-minute set list is considered okay for rappers. I'm just amazed that people are forking out for that amount of music. Just one second. I want to bring in Deirdre. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. I paid for two gold circle tickets for me and my niece, my 14-year-old niece. I'm from Dublin originally, but we drove up from Galway to see Nicki Minaj. And this was her first concert. And of course, she's a diehard Nicki Minaj fan. I don't particularly like her music, but, you know, to each their own. Mm-hmm. And so I got her the Gold Circle tickets. Now, the Gold Circle tickets means that there's a section cordoned off at the front of the stage, which allows you closer access to the stage. Which I personally don't agree with. I think all areas should be open to everybody. But anyway, that's another.
You were being the lovely aunt.
Yes, I was. Yes, it was for her birthday. So I got her the Gold Circle tickets and we got there at about 7 o'clock and there was a support act which were absolutely brilliant. They really got the crowd going. They were really good and they played some songs that I knew. And so it was like 20 past 8.
These were the DJs, Deirdre, we're talking
the
about.
DJs, yeah. Yes.
So this
the
is just
DJs,
a, let's yeah. give them a shout out again. Dan Duffy and Dancy. This is the. As I say, they should get a special award for keeping the show on the road because I'm sure they were playing for a lot longer than they had anticipated.
Oh, they were absolutely playing for a lot longer than they should have. They were really, really good. I'd say they were better than Nicki Minaj herself. I'm sorry to anyone listening to who loves Nicki. So it was like 8:45 and I was getting quite antsy because I go to a lot of gigs. Like I'm a music lover and I was there with my niece's friend's mum who I never met, Colette, if she's listening. Hello, Colette. So we were standing there and there was a Garda over there. So I went over to the Garda and I asked him, what's the cutoff time for concerts in Malahide? Because I thought it was 10:30, but it was 10:45. And this was 9 o'clock and I was there going, is she going to play for 1 hour and 45 minutes? And then it was like 9:15, 9:30, 9:45. And she rocks up on stage at about 9:50, 9:50. And she comes on the stage and the whole crowd go mad, of course. And, you know, we'd been rained on now a couple of times by this stage. So I was soaking wet. My niece was soaking wet. And but she was devout fan. She stayed at the front and she played for, I don't even think it was 50 minutes. There were multiple costume changes, which took, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. One of them took about 7 minutes. I recorded all of this. And then there were a few songs that were played. I know one song, it's called Black Barbies. And I actually like that song because I can listen to the words. And that wasn't even played live. It was played to sort of, you know, make up for the costume change. It wasn't even live. So, and as a concert goer, I've never experienced that. Like, I go to a lot of rock gigs and stuff like that, alternative gigs. gigs, and I've never heard a performer play a song, basically stick in a CD and put on the song. I just thought that was disgraceful. She played for less than 50 minutes. I paid €100 per ticket, and I will never buy a gold circle ticket again, because it was an absolute farce. I got onto Ticketmaster to an AI robot, you know, those chat things, mm-hmm. and it says, if you bought insurance, please contact Allianz. So I've written an email to Allianz with my insurance policy number, hoping that they'll get back to me. For a gig that cost €100 per ticket, I think there should be some refund given, and especially that, like, I was surrounded by young ones and young fellas, and they were diehard fans. They were really loving the music, and I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad for the parents who were forced to bring their children to Nicki Minaj, and that's obviously not their cup of tea, if you like. And, you know, I endured it, but I did enjoy it. It was a good show. I will give her that. But there was no apology given. It was an absolute slap in the face to all her fans. And I do know that she has a reputation of either not showing up or cancelling last minute. And it's an absolute slap in the face to all of her fans. Taylor Swift, not my cup of tea, but to each their own. She played for 3 hours. Bruce Springsteen plays for over 3 hours. You get value for money with those performers. And Nicki Minaj should be absolutely ashamed of herself.
But Deirdre, according to Lynn, this is par for the course, that she actually played her full set.
Yeah, like I do see completely where she's coming from. And I do agree that in a way, like, somebody does have to hold some responsibility, because there was an error in organising it. Like, for anyone with the gold circle, a lot of them left. A lot of people were actually more excessively drunk because they were waiting so long. So whether she was designated to say, hey, I'm not coming on till it's dark, and they didn't leave everyone else know, or whether she was late, it hasn't been cleared up. But as you were saying with the, you know, the way she did go off and do the costume changes, that is specified in the set list that those songs are not performed live. They're covered in pink. So, like, everyone that's live was in black, and then there was breaks in between while she went off and did her costume changes. And those songs were played on, but you could see that on the list.
Yeah.
And just explain, Lynn, are the costume changes absolutely imperative to do? Like, when there's so little time to the curfew, could she possibly have stayed on stage? That has obviously really annoyed people.
It didn't really make... I think everybody was wet and cold and waiting. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, it made the show that she went off and came back and did something else, and it was all done in, like, it was done in 4 quarters. So, you know, there was, each quarter was different, like the lights and the timing and all the backstage production was all different for each quarter. So that was all done. But I think it's just as well for the genre. All of the songs, nearly all of everyone's rap songs, they have features on them. So a lot of the songs can't be played full on. I do understand, though, like, people did go to Taylor and they... Swift, and they did go to Pink, and they have a big, we've been to them as well. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be the nature of the, you know, just based on my experience in the last couple of concerts we've went to, it's been, they cover them, and they cover the good parts of them. And
yeah, and you know. Let me just, I have Richard on the line as well. Richard, good afternoon.
How are you doing? How's things?
Yeah, what do you make of this? You weren't there now on Saturday night, Richard.
I wasn't there, so I'll be the first person to say that. But, like, what, less than 50 minutes and you're paying €100 a ticket? Like, that'd be like me going to Old Trafford to watch Man United, or going to Crow Park, or going to Tala. I'm a Shamrock Rovers season ticket holder, and paying the full price of a ticket to watch highlights of a match live, to watch a match, 30 minutes of a game. Like, surely an hour and a half is the standard that any act is going to play. I've been to gigs where I've seen acts as well for 3 hours. Taylor Swift, obviously, is not my cup of tea, but I know people who were there. They got a good show. Bruce Springsteen, the same. I've been at Glenn Hansard concerts over the years. It's stunning. A lot of Irish bands.
But have you been to any rap or hip-hop concerts that have played for longer than that? They are all referencing a different genre. That's just what I'm trying to say, that I do completely understand for value of money. I'm just asking, has anybody been to concerts with one solo artist that's been able to stay on this, you know, for longer than that?
Yeah, and can I just say though, Richard, and same type of, and fair play to you, Len, because you know you're no spokesperson for
and
Nicki Minaj. You're just trying to explain.
No, I am a mother, and I did see the kids, and yeah. I was going to myself, oh geez, like it just, and you know, it was. I just feel like somebody probably does have to take responsibility for something, because everyone was.
Is the difficulty here is that people were not told in advance that this is what to expect? Because if that's what you're paying your money for and that's what you're going along to expect, and if you know that the rappers generally don't do more than the whatever 40 minutes, well then that's fair enough, obviously. But it's when you're there waiting and you're told that you're expecting them on stage at 8:20 and they don't turn up till 10, well then obviously you've got a problem.
And it was the excessive amount of alcohol that people were consuming because they were there all day. Wait, like there was just a huge breakdown in communication, like on that particular thing as well. I just thought
I'll attest to that as well, because there was a few fights after the show ended, and there was no security around, and then the security suddenly rocked up like 5 minutes later. So it was very shocking to see. Now, I'm no, you know, snowflake or anything like that, but it was quite frightening to see, you know.
Especially with so many very young people down. There. Yeah, so many very young people there.
Yeah.
And she cancelled the gig to follow. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead, Richard.
She cancelled the gig that she was due to play the following day too. So it obviously is something that she's done before. She's cutting short gigs and cancelling gigs. You know, she's not one for sort of.
She did cancel the last time she was here. She was supposed to be here, but we all did get her full refund. And I think that was like 2018, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the time we did see her, I think in 2015 or 16, maybe it was earlier than that, and it was the same thing. It was 45 minutes.
I've got Dara. Sorry, Lynn. I've got Dara on the line, and Dara. Did you see her in Portugal?
Yeah, me and my friends, we flew over last week to see her in Portugal for Afronation. And it was basically the same story that happened.
Really?
In Dublin. Yeah.
Okay, so talk me through it. So where was she playing?
So she was playing in Afronation in Portimao, and she was playing on the Thursday, and she was headlining the act. So she was the last person to come on. I'm not too sure. I think she was due to come on around 10:30, 10:15. And we were waiting an hour and a half. And that whole time, like, none of the crowd was kept updated. So they kind of just had her DJ playing on the stage. And he was playing a little bit of her music, like snippets here and there, and then a mixture of other Afro music. And then when a load of people left, because everyone kind of presumed she wasn't coming anymore. So people started going to the other stage. So me and my friends did that. And then we heard her music. So we came back over, but it still wasn't her. So it was another 15 minutes by the time she came on. So all together, we were waiting around an hour and 45 minutes. And then when she did come on, it was so awkward for the crowd. Like, she walked out and she goes to the DJ, "What's your name?" And then he said his name and she goes, "Yeah, do you mind not playing my music?" And then everyone went quiet. It was just so awkward.
She had a go publicly at the DJ for playing her music while she was an hour and a half late coming on.
Yeah. And then she kind of said, "I want to talk to the crowd for a minute." So everyone was expecting an apology. And she just goes, "Hello, Afro Nation. Thanks for everyone for coming." And then that was it. There was no sorry for waiting, sorry for keeping me. She actually made a few kind of tone-deaf comments to the crowd as well, which was really awkward to be in. And then after them comments, a lot of people left. So, yeah, it was just not what we paid for, to be honest.
Are you a fan, Dara? Sure. Are you a Nicki Minaj fan?
Yeah, I am. Me and my friends are good fans of her.
Are you still a fan of hers?
I would be, but that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about paying to go see her again.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary, but obviously people do keep paying to see her, even though there seems to be these issues all the time. Hang on there, and please, everyone, hang on. I need to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I want to bring in Ross now. Ross, good afternoon.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, you were there as well on Saturday, Ross.
I was, yes, correct.
And?
Oh, do you know what? It was just an abhorrent experience, to be quite honest. Like, I went with six of my friends. We were really looking forward to the night. I've been a pretty big supporter of Nicki and the genre of rap in general, but especially Nicki in terms of female rap since kind of the start of her career. And we were actually supposed to go in 2019 as well, and she cancelled an hour before. So we kind of had an idea that, you know, something was a bit wonky. Don't ask why we went again. But we were standing outside. Obviously, she didn't come on until, I think it was 9:55, knowing that there was a curfew at 10:30. There was not even an apology after she came out, and she was kind of grinning and making faces. And, you know, I just thought it was disgraceful, to be quite honest with you.
But you're a rapper fan. You're a fan of hers. Were you not expecting that, given what Len was telling us about this particular genre?
Do you know what? I was probably a bit delusional. So I went with six of my friends, and they were all kind of saying, we were having drinks beforehand. They were all like, oh, I have a feeling she's going to cancel. I have a feeling she's going to be late. And I said, no, look, let's be positive and let's see. You know, she's a very talented rapper. So let's just, like, we'll have a great night if she does. And let's just hope for the best. So then obviously when it started lashing rain, and then I was kind of, they were all looking at me being like, oh, you know, you're wrong the whole time. But I was just trying to be positive, and I was trying to, like, let's just go back to gigs. You know, we were locked up for 2 years with the pandemic. We couldn't go to concerts. So I think people are eagerly anticipating her to come back to Ireland and kind of, like, rewrite history in terms of what happened last time, you know. So I suppose that's kind of the rationale behind it.
You've been on to MCD since then.
Yeah, so my friend bought the tickets, but we all emailed separately just saying, look, like, absolutely disgraceful experience. Like, we only got 35 minutes worth of time with the concert. And I'd love to say, with the, I heard a few comments about, you know, genre, and like there should be exceptions to the rap genre. I completely disagree. I went to see Drake in 2019. He was playing for over 2 hours in the Three Arena. I know it's a different arena, and I know there was excuses being made about the stage and the production, and she was expected to come out late. It doesn't matter. You liaise with your promotional team, and you liaise with the bands to make sure that they're all in line. It's a bad experience for your fans, and it's just complete negligence. Like, I heard a lady saying that, and I totally agree. I just think it's to have, like, a 15-plus career and to have fans waiting for you out in the rain. And then, to make it worse, she was tweeting saying that Dublin was the best place she'd been on the tour. And I actually put up a tweet saying that I was really disgusted with her behaviour and how late she was. And I actually got messages and death threats from some of her fans, you know, because they're actually so delusional that they think that this is okay for an artist to do. Which is pointing to an issue in wider society of allowing celebrities to get away with stuff like this, because it's just crazy stuff. It really is.
But apparently she just did it last week in Portugal as well. I mean, it's not an aberration for Nicki Minaj. Apparently she literally did it just in the most recent festival in Portugal. So it's extraordinary how it's not seeping through to fans, to the fan base, that this is what you get.
And you know what? I haven't seen anything about Portugal. I was obviously, since the whole situation on Saturday, I've been kind of chronically online looking at stuff about it, because me and my friends are all disgusted. But I heard that she subsequently cancelled in Bucharest yesterday, saying that she was concerned about safety. And I saw a few Romanian journalists posting saying that they're disgusted because it's actually nothing to do with that, and that they're a peaceful protest. But she was apparently doing it because she didn't sell out. But even still, it's just not a good experience for your fans. And I think I think the problem with not holding celebrities like that accountable is they get away with it. And then people are saying, you know, examples like Taylor Swift and Pink playing for God knows over 2 hours each, you know, and then I mean, Beyonce played in London for 3 hours, you know.
This has been the summer of brilliant concerts. I mean, we've heard nothing but great reviews of all the big acts that have come so far this summer. So this is a real downer when you compare to all of those concerts. Ross, will you hang on? I want to bring in Adrian. Adrian.
Yeah. No problem. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Adrian. You are also a rapper fan?
Well, I was mowing the lawn, and I just heard Lynn there say that it was normal for rap artists to do 35 minutes. And I was like, dude, that's crazy. I was at Eminem a few years back in Twickenham, and it was like 2 hours, and it was just fabulous. So you shouldn't be allowed to do 35 minutes. So the price those kids pay to go to see their artists, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with that. So it's not normal for rap artists to do 35 minutes. I mean, Eminem is the best in the world, best rap artist in my view in the world. He plays 2 hours.
Do I still have Lynn on the line? I do, I think. Lynn, are you still there?
Hi. Yeah, I am still on. And I love Eminem too, but like, a lot of the time, when the artists are very new, they play a longer set, right? The bigger they get, they can't cover all of their songs. This is where also they do a verse in the chorus, and also because they have a lot of features on
but,
the song.
Now, in fairness, now Eminem has been around for a while.
Yeah, but somebody else just said Drake played for 2 hours. I was at the concert. He came on at 9:20, and the point is to be finished, closed at 10:30, and it was 1 hour and 10 minutes. So I think a lot of the time, some artists, they go off, they take an interval, a big video comes on, that buying time too. Now, I know Nicki did do, after every quarter, she did go off and do a costume change, but it wasn't an interval. So, I mean, that also adds to the time. But the performance time on stage, that is absolutely normal. I don't go to rock concerts and stuff like that, but I just know from rock concerts that I've been to in the last like 10 years, that is totally all I've ever seen anyone perform for.
But what about what Adrian is just saying there about Eminem? That's, when was that concert, Adrian?
In July 2018.
Okay, so yeah, not last year, but very recently.
I went to him in Punchestown years ago. It could have been 2000, and I'm going to say 12. I don't know. It could have been. It was actually less. It was probably 2006 or 7. He came on at 9:15, and we were all out of there at 10:30. So I think that, you know, the max I think they play is 1 hour and 15, 1 hour and 20. So I know Nicki played for 30.
I was going to say though, I think if Nicki Minaj did play for 1.5 hours. I don't think we'd be having this conversation today. I think people would have taken that and went,
exactly.
Okay,
I
fair
don't
enough.
Know,
yeah, exactly.
Everyone was so wet. And people were so drunk, and it was really cold, and there was people there since 4 o'clock. I don't know, because even before she came on, everyone was just on their last thread. You know what I mean? I think there was a lot of people just completely. There was a lot of people leaving even when we were going in, and that was 8:45.
Can I just add?
Who's that, Ross? Yeah.
Sorry, it's Ross. So I totally get what you're saying, Lynn. I understand your experiences with the genre itself, but I think at the same time, Nicki Minaj is often classified as a pop artist, and to a lot of teenagers and children, she's known as a pop artist as well. A lot of her most successful hits are pop songs, and that's not me.
And they were on the last four. All of those ones were on. They were her last four performed songs on the set.
No, and that's fine. But like, I think, you know, you're kind of making excuses for her as being a hip-hop artist, but I think that's actually quite unfair, because there's a lot of children and teenagers that go to her for a pop artist, and that's the great thing about Nicki, I believe, is that she's multifaceted and that she can do different genres. Yeah, she's a really talented rapper as well. Like, I love her. I said that at the start. I'm a really big fan of Nicki Minaj, but I just think it points to a wider issue in society where we're allowing celebrities to do this, to have this sort of entitlement and behaviour. And it's like, I heard what you said about the production, you know, like some of it was for nighttime, but I went to see The Weeknd last year. I know he's not a rap artist, he's more of a pop R&B artist, but he had a production that was really, really dark, and anyone that's seen his tours knows that. But I know he's not around as long, but he still kept the show going in the summertime, played all his hits, didn't shorten the songs, the set list was there. I went to see Rihanna in 2016. She like has a lot of hip-hop songs as well, you know, and pop songs, obviously, but I just think there's a bit of a disconnect here. And I think with Nicki, unfortunately, a lot of her fans make excuses for her. And I've seen they're really abusive online as well. I'm not saying this about you, Lynn, by the way. Obviously, I don't know you. But yeah. I've seen a lot of her fans online get very defensive. And actually, I've got a few kind of homophobic and racist comments thrown at me because of me making comments about being dissatisfied with the concert. You know, so...
Yeah. But is it Nicki, or is it the whole organisation of the whole thing? This is kind of the...
Probably both. But I suppose Ross's point is this big stars taking the proverbial, basically, and getting away with it? Hang on a minute, Ross and Lynn, would you? I need to take another break, but we'll come back to this after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Can I bring in Jane now? Jane, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Jane, you were at the gig as well?
Yeah, I was. And I've also been to quite a few different rap concerts, and I'm a big Nicki fan. But I don't agree with what Lynn was saying. I think there's a big difference between 1 hour and 20 minutes and 35 minutes. And I followed her set list. I knew what her set list was going to be. And even if it's only 5 or 6 songs less, there was less songs, and the songs she did sing were completely rushed. And you could see that, and she was completely disorganized. At one point, she actually had an argument with her own DJ because he was playing the incorrect set list.
Right. And you say that this wasn't your first rodeo or your first rap concert, basically.
Not at all. I was at 50 Cent in November, and like Nicki, he did a production. He had outfit changes. You know, there were breaks in between. But with the outfit changes, he still played all his songs. He played them throughout. He played the full songs. He had the outfit changes, but they were quick. He was gone and he was back and he was ready. And he played for an hour and a half. So, and he supported Nicki on her tour. So he would definitely be the same genre.
Lynn, we're getting very few people supporting your 35 minutes is okay position on this.
He did row with the DJ, and there was one sort of sound production error, I think, but she didn't. I don't think she caught us. Like, we were watching the whole thing. We were watching the list because we were conscious of getting out of there on time and stuff. So I don't think she caught her set list short at all. She played every song that was on the list. I mean, people can say she shortened the list, she shortened the songs, but that would be like, I have, you know, in my experience, people, a lot of the time they play the verse and the chorus and they move on, and that's really it.
You're very understanding, Lynn, I have to say, because if I went to a concert with everyone,
yeah, know. You know what I mean? We were all freaking and Cole waiting, and I do totally understand all that. I went, you know. I do, and I do think, like, geez, it'd be lovely for a refund or a partial refund if somebody could take. I don't know if it's solely on Nicki Minaj, but I just think the whole, it was organised bad. Bringing people in early and, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, Trish, have I got Trish there?
Hi, Casey, how are you?
Yeah, so you were at Lizzo.
I went to Lizzo about 2 years ago now over Manchester. We couldn't get tickets for the Irish gig, so we ended up going to Manchester. And she was just an absolute amazing gig. She played for a solid 2 hours at least. I can't remember the exact time, but I definitely know it was more than 2 hours. Now, she had the costume changes and the production and all that as well, but an absolute solid gig, like, for the same price, I believe, as the people were paying for Nicki Minaj last week. Like, so I just think that I understand what Lynn was saying there about, you know, that it's hard to kind of put it on to Nicki herself, but surely there's enough people working for her and enough people working for the promoters to say, listen, if you want things to be dark, it's not going to be dark until this time. Or, you know, if it's a case of, you know, if you want to, you know, cut certain songs, like, I'm not sure the audience are going to enjoy that, or is that a good idea, etc., etc. I just think there's enough people working that they could have at least, I don't know, maybe tried to sort something out, or even just a basic apology, I think. I mean, whatever about a refund or whatever, she did play the gig. It wasn't up to people's standards, but surely an apology to say maybe it wasn't up to our standards and we apologise, I think. I think that could be the least they could do anyway.
I do think the difficulty, we come back to the fact that people were expecting her to be on stage much earlier. And then obviously if somebody's coming on stage that early, you don't expect them to be gone.
Of course.
35 minutes later, I think expectations were very poorly managed is one of the main problems here. Let me bring in Dara. Dara?
Katie, good afternoon.
Yeah, you're a performer yourself, Dara.
I am. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I've been lucky enough to perform concerts in Ireland and in America. And one of the things that I learned very quickly in my career is that, number one, you don't turn up late, and number two, you don't cut your list. I vividly remember doing a concert out in Clifton one time, and when I got there, the organisers were all apologetic. They'd got the dates wrong. Now, it was an intimate gig. 60 people would have filled where I was performing because I was doing the town hall in Galway the following night. There were only 20 people there. They said, you might as well cancel. I said, no. Well, you cut your list. I said, no. If people have paid to come and hear me perform, they'll hear me perform. And there is no excuse, in my opinion, where people have spent good money, regardless of the price, to go along and for some artists to come on and just do 35 minutes. That is an insult. It's an insult to all artists out there, in my opinion.
And you don't accept at all that maybe some genre are that it's more par for the course?
Absolutely not. I mean, genre doesn't come into it at all. You're a performer. You go out there. You're expecting people to spend their money to come and hear you and to see you.
But
Taylor Swift wouldn't be doing that.
Sorry, Lynn, you were saying?
We don't know for sure she was actually late, or was that her time all the time and nobody told everyone else?
This is it, yeah. We actually, this is what we don't know.
Short because she did specify what she was playing. Like, you could say taking 30 seconds off a song and everyone could go mad. So, she did play what was in front of everyone, you know, too. So it's, she didn't take songs out of the set list or...
She didn't, but she barely, I mean, she obviously, some of the, you couldn't, I mean, there's over 20 songs in the set list, so she couldn't possibly
the
have
sung. The only way we'll actually find out is if somebody watches a concert that was played in Europe and see if that was the deal all over.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it was very similar in Portugal as well from what...
Yeah, so I think that was just the tour. You know, I think that was the, and I, maybe nobody... We didn't read comments that were on from other concerts previous, I suppose, to know. But I don't think I would have expected any more. But I do know if I was going to Taylor Swift, knowing that she performs for longer, knowing that there are Pink, I would have expected a bigger performance. It just, you know.
What was your performance of the summer, concert of the summer, Lynn?
I did like her. I did like Nicki.
You actually think of all...
I love Nicki. You know?
And you've seen that she's not the only gig you've been at this summer.
No, I do love Nicki. I mean, all the other diehard fans for words and everything. You know, it was great. It was a great atmosphere. I did see the other side to it too. But no, personal experience, it was really good.
Wow. So that was your actual... That's the one you'd pick, yeah, if you were asked for your gig of the summer so far. Let me see. I've got Paddy on the line. Paddy, good afternoon.
How are you, Katie? Up Kerry.
Up Kerry, indeed, up the kingdom. Paddy, we're just asking Lynn there, what was her gig of the summer? Because, I mean, as I say, there have been some fantastic gigs this summer, some fantastic stadium gigs in particular. And you have one yourself.
I was with my daughter at Hosier in Marley Park the other night, mm-hmm, Friday night. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I'd be with the man just before Lynn there. I've forgotten his name, but
Dara.
I've been listening all along there. What Dara said, that's an insult to people to charge them that much money and to be late and to not even mention it, etc., etc. I think Hosier played for about 2 hours the last night with 8 or 9 people in the band, all of them brilliant. And I don't know his songs that well. I know a few of the big hits and whatever. He had no costume change and he got by fine, you know. The music was just fantastic and the atmosphere there, they were all ages and a few people were a bit drunk, but there was no aggro or anything. And even walking out when it's slow to get out, you know, the way everybody's trying to get out together at the mm-hmm end of the night, very jovial atmosphere. Everybody went home happy.
Yeah, and I saw there was some complaints about a Marley Park concert there. I'm trying to remember who it was now, but there was an issue about where the stage was, that it might have been difficult for everybody to see. Did you have any issues like that with Hosier?
Not to bother. No. Fine big screens with very clear pictures being projected, and everybody... I just think Hosier spoke at the end as well. Just, I think he does this, you know. But he came across as an absolute gentleman. Funnily enough, what you were discussing earlier, he mentioned that he understood that you're spending your hard-earned money to come to see us. So thank you very much. That's the total opposite from what I've been hearing at all. Sounds like, I don't know anything about, I've seen her on TV a few times, but that kind of behaviour that has been highlighted there just seems that the likes of Nicki Minaj doesn't care about her fans.
Yeah, because as I say, it's not cheap to see anyone now.
Not at all.
You know, and especially if you've got to travel as well for the concert. So
yep,
for those artists that actually do appreciate and do, you know, are grateful and don't take any of their fans for granted, you do feel it, don't you, when you're at it.
It's old-fashioned good manners and respect.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of room for that still.
Indeed. And so that was Hosier. Thanks for that, Paddy.
Not a bother.
Thanks. Dennis. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Katie, good afternoon to you. Katie, as a seasoned sort of gig goer, and having probably seen most of the major acts, we're now on the radio again within the space of a couple of months talking about a gig that people have been shortchanged. The previous one was Dionne Warwick, which kicked up a storm as well on your programme. We're now talking about Nicki Minaj. I personally think that the promoter and the ticket seller, they need to be held accountable, and there needs to be some form of legislation introduced to protect those people yesterday evening who spent their hard-earned money and feel they've been shortchanged. It's not acceptable anymore that these artists can sort of rock up and disappear with your hard-earned money. It's not good enough.
Who have you seen any? Have you been at any of the big concerts this year, Dennis?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
And who would you be recommending us to see?
Well, the best I've seen and bang for your buck, and I've followed them since 1974, was Bruce Springsteen.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen him numerous occasions, and I know a fair amount of sort of his the way he sort of the way he views his fans, and he basically puts it down to as a contract between them and me. They pay their hard money, their hard earned money, for me to perform, and that's what I do. And that's exactly. And he hasn't that hasn't waned in the last 50 odd years.
I didn't actually see him just this one gone, but I saw his the last time. Was it last year or the year before? I'm trying to see the years.
It was 2000. He was. I think it was 2016. 2024 was obviously recently. But getting back to the overall, like, people now are going to come off the air, and people have done their money, and she's disappeared into the sunset. And MCD they've also got their dough, and Joe Public is out of pocket. It's disgraceful. Simple as.
So your advice is stick with the Bruce Springsteens of this world. Dennis, thank you for that.
I just want to see the ordinary gig goer protected.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate that. And thanks, Dara. And Lynn, thank you. I know you're dying on the hill there, but you're defending it to the bitter end.
No, I do totally agree with him too. And look, I mean, it just seemed to be a bit all over the place. She was fantastic, but I think everyone, even before she came on, was just livid at that stage.
Yeah. Lynn, thanks for that. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Or text us to 51551. Now, a lot of those concert goers would never have made it to those concerts if it weren't for coach operators. They're the busy, very busy time of year for coach operators, you know, ferrying people, a lot of them up to Dublin for concerts, for matches, and indeed, of course, the tourists also at a peak. But they are running into some trouble. I want to bring on Shane. Shane, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Shane, you've had a bit of bother recently with your coaches in Dublin.
Yeah, we did. So I operate Sligo Coaches, and we do quite a lot of tours. And we, on the tours there, we have buses there that would stay in Dublin overnight, maybe at the start or the end of a tour, and we require overnight parking. But just lately there now, in the last week, we had a bus parked in Dublin, and there was windows broken out during the night, and that wasn't the first time it happened. There was actually another coach parked in front of us that had all their side windows smashed as well, and there's been a number of other operators in the past month that had their windows broken in Dublin as well. So it's a regular occurrence at the moment there, and it's just causing a lot of hassle to the operators, because with the cost of replacing these windows and taking buses off the road in the middle of tours. So it's causing a lot of problems for us.
Absolutely. And the difficulty is you don't have somewhere safe to park up overnight in general. Is that there's a big shortage of overnight parking spaces?
That's right, yeah. So like at the moment there in Dublin, there is the coach park, but the problem is it closes at, I think it's 5 or 5.30pm, and it doesn't reopen until 7am in the morning, and there's no overnight parking in there allowed. So
So that's no good to you, basically. And a lot of your drivers would be staying overnight in Dublin because it'd be an early morning start again for their tour groups, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. So, for example, that driver came in that evening. He came in off doing transfers to start the tour, and he needed to get parked up. And he parked. He went around looking for parking for, I think, an hour, he said, and couldn't get anywhere in order to park. And he ended up parking on Parnell Square. And then overnight, then as I said, another coach had parked a lot in front of him, and it came out in the morning, and the windows were broken. But like that as well, like, you know, if there was a coach park in Dublin that we could use overnight, you know, like they've got obviously a secure coach park. It needs to be secure, obviously. But we just don't know why it can't be extended for that coach park that's in Dublin at the moment. We don't know why it can't be extended for overnight parking.
Yeah, so as you say, there is a coach park. It's in a very good spot, but it closes at 5:30 in the evening. And as I understand it, that's a planning issue, and I think it's kind of a complicated one, so we won't go into it. But that's the current situation: is the gates close and that the coach park closes down at 5:30. So it's no good for the overnight. Coaches.
Well, I think so. I've been told. I think the planning for that there is planning permission for parking in that overnight, but I don't think they're allowed to have buses running between 10 a.m. and 7 a.m. Sorry, 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. So I've been told. Like, so if it would suit a lot of tour buses to go in, park up, and leave them there for the night, and then come back at 7 a.m. in the morning and collect them.
And tell me, as you said, there seems to have been a bit of a spate of this over the last few weeks. Is there any particular reason that we know about that this has become a particular issue, or is this always the case over the summer months? What's the story?
With regards to windows being broken and damage being done?
Yeah.
In previous years, there has been damage done to other vehicles too. With parts, like for one that sticks out last year, there was one parked outside the Academy Plaza Hotel, roughly in the same area, and there was windows broken and things robbed out of the bus. But it's a city, like it's parking in the city isn't safe. Like these buses, like I paid €312,000 for this bus there 6 months ago, and to have windows broken on it, it probably cost me another $4,000 between hiring in buses, trying to get a bus at short notice to cover the day tour, and then it was off the road for 2 days, and then that bus had to go down the country and meet up with the group again, you know?
Yeah.
But like it's a huge cost. Like, I mean, like if for example, if you bought a car for $300,000, would you want somewhere safe to park it too? I'm sure. But Dublin City Council.
Yeah, you might be slow enough to leave it in Parnell Square overnight for sure. Hang on there, Shane. I've got Roy Carney on the other line. Roy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're with Carney's of Cork, Roy.
That's correct, yes.
You've also had an issue with coaches parked in the city centre.
Yeah, it has been for some time, to be fair, about over the last few years. You know, we'd be up there a lot during the summer and the tourist season and things like that. And like Shane, there we go. We're after three coaches in the space of 3 or 4 months, particularly around the Parnell Square, the city centre area, which that's after sustaining a lot of window damage there.
And again, as Shane was explaining, this is no small amount of money you're involved here. It's not.
And you see, it's the cost factor number one. But you see, it is getting the glass. The glass has to come in from either Spain or wherever the coach is made. You know, like we have one coach here. We're waiting nearly 6 weeks for a pane of glass for it. You know, so it is the time off the road in our busy season, and you know, it is a short season for us as well. You know,
would any of this make you kind of think twice about, you know, taking business that takes you into Dublin?
Oh, if I could stay out of it, it'd be great. And you know, if I could stay out of Dublin, I'm looking at itineraries and tours now. And if I see Dublin on the itinerary for a hotel, I'm sceptical of it, you know, because it's just gone just so unsafe for parking there. You know, if we could get, as I say, look, there is a coach park there. You know, if you get safe parking, you know, everybody'd be happy. Other than that, we're looking for. We'd have to outpace the driver outside of Dublin, maybe 10-15 miles away, where he'd get safe parking, and then travel back into the next morning to pick up the group. And it's all time and travel and costs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Has it got noticeably worse?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, that just the Dublin city centre has become.
You see, they think the coaches seem to be a target for people because they think that there's all personal belongings left inside them and things like that. They go rifling through them, and you know, there's some cases that they've broke windows and they didn't even get into the coach. You know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. So, is it just kind of, you know, blind vandalism for the sake
blind
of it, or is it an attempt to?
Yeah, 90% of it will be blind vandalism. You know.
Yeah. God, it's very frustrating, isn't it, when you're trying to run a business and.
Well, it is unbelievable. You know, but the city centre area in Dublin has just gone very unsafe for coach. There's a lot of stories that we don't hear about as well, and there's a lot of offers we don't. But there is an awful lot of damage being done inside the city between, because the one night in question, which was there in May, there was four or five coaches done the same night, and then the street of cars behind it was done. You know, so. It was just total carnage. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see why you'd be looking at itineraries and wondering, can I stay out of Dublin? Will you hang on? I need to take my last break. I'll be back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
OK, that's it. We are actually out of time. Thanks to Rob and thanks to Shane. And best of luck with that. I just see a text in here. Katie, you discussed Nicki Minaj longer than she played in Malahide. She said, the irony of all of that. OK, that's it. On sound today, we had Pather Carney. Our broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin. On research was Adam Hogan. And today's programme was produced by Annette Egan. That's it. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, but stand by now for Ray.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.